Mary Christman, especially reflections on her life with Horty Christman. This is Bill Dirks, the archivist, and Mary, introduce yourself.
And I'm Mary Christman from Colville, Washington.
Colville, Washington.
Up here for the 30th birthday.
Oh, the 31st. You're up here for the 30th birthday.
And the 25th reunion.
Yeah. Okay, good. I really don't know where to start, but I think perhaps the best thing is to ask you when you and Horty first got here at the village and start working on staff.
In the spring of 1966, Horty came up in May, and then I came up the first part of June. 1966. We came up the first time in 1961 when LBI still had the church, and we was here either one or two nights and went out. And my voice does not carry that.
Yeah, you're a little soft.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But to work was in the spring of 1966.
All right. Okay. And what was Horty doing at that time?
When he was here?
Yeah.
Well, he was on maintenance. He soon had the nickname of the village plumber. Also, he did a lot of barbering in the evenings. And the barbershop was very popular. Only barber in the village.
And where was the barbershop?
In what is now called the village center.
In the basement.
In the basement. As you come down the stairs, you turn to your left and then into the barbershop. I think I seen Wes Breed in there popping corn last night.
Oh. Yeah, well, that's his favorite haunt right
that's
now.
That's his haunt.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What did Horty do before he came up here?
Well, he's been kind of a jack of all trades, I guess.
Uh-huh.
He had a barber shop in Chelan at one time many years ago. And then he came home when his father died and took care of his mother, and that's when I met him. And he farmed, and he barbered just a little bit on weekends or when some other barber wanted a vacation. But he preferred being outdoors. He was always an outdoors man, and so he worked in the woods an awful lot, logging. And I think that was his big love when it came to working was in the woods.
How did you first get acquainted with the village?
With the village? Well, Horty was working over here in Chelan. I mean, he had a barber shop here. And him and J.C. Crew, when they got out of barber school, came over here and bought a shop. And then when the stock market that was just before the stock market broke in 29, and when it broke, J.C. Crew stayed in the shop. Oh, well, I'm getting, your question was, how did we hear it?
Mm.
Well, at that time, while he was in Chelan, Howe Sound Company was here, and they was having trouble financing this mine and all the other problems that are connected with this place. And when he read in the Lutheran Standard that had been given to the church, and I think there was a story, the West Creed story in there. He was very interested. How can the church handle something like that when a mining company was having problems? So he was very interested in getting up here and learning a little more about it and seeing what the church could do. And that was his first interest. And that's why we came up in 1961, is because of what we had read in the Lutheran Standard. There was even an interesting story in that when we we were putting up hay and it rained. That stopped the hay. You can't put up wet hay. And he threw down his fork and says, let's go up over to Cheyenne and up and see what they're doing up lake there. There's also been something in the woods and standard about the new sign to do things up here. So we got in the car and headed over here. We had two children at home. Another boy, I think, in college, it was kind of supporting himself, and yet mom and dad was helping out. But we got over here, and we stopped at the church in Chelan, and they knew nothing. Well, yes, I heard there was something happening up there. So we left the car there, and caught the boat, and come up late, and it was a truck met the boat, and they unloaded bowling equipment. That was when the bowling alley was set up that spring. And the driver of the truck said, no, I wasn't told to pick anybody up. I can't take you. And we didn't know what to do. We had to go back down late now that we was here. And somebody said, well, I think there's a taxi in Lucerne. So we walked over there to the store. And they said, yeah, they can bring us up here. And we got in some rattly old vehicle. I don't know what it was, but we wondered if it would get up here. And that cost us $15 or $20 to come up here too, in that taxi. And we held in there while we ran into the first chalet down there to find out if we could stay here. And oh, sure, we could stay here. So the taxi went back down the hill. And the Forerunners was here working on trails, some of the leaders. And we stayed overnight or two nights, and we worked on with them on trails. And one of the oldest boys was up on top of one of the lodges helping repair chimneys, which were pretty badly eroded. And there was two or three girls up in the hospital. I was up helping them. The hospital was the cleanest building here, so they had decided to paint it first. They had been to paint it. And I believe that Hardy went out and cut some wood for him, but if my memory serves me right, Neil, who was up here with us in 66, our youngest boy, I think he just ran around and looked at things pretty much. And that's how we got introduced to Holy Village. And then Joe Walmer and Ruth Walmer came up here to work in 66. And Joe persuaded Hardy he should come back again. We was rather discouraged in 61 because they wanted $3 a day for every child you had with you. This is for the volunteer workers. And if my memory serves me correct again, I believe they wanted so much a month for us, for our board room too. Which we couldn't do with two children at home and another boy in college. It was just too much, so we went back home until Joe Walmer got us.
So even as a volunteer staff, you had charged the room
for
it?
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah. This was 1961.
Yeah.
Which maybe don't sound like too much, but it is too much when you're a working man. And so we went home and forgot about it until Joe Walmer persuaded Hardy he should go up there. And so we put in an application for volunteer work, and that's how we got it.
And then your first year up here was 66?
66, uh-huh. May of 66, Hardy came up. They wanted to come up and they started opening the camp, the retreat for the summer, but I couldn't get away because I had a boy in school. So I stayed there at school itself in Caldwell at home.
Did you bring him up too? Was that?
Yes, he was here in 66. He spent the summer here too. He worked in the laundry some. He worked in the kitchen doing dishes, and he did. They had birthday cakes for anybody in the village. They got a birthday cake, and he did all the birthday cakes and the decorating that summer.
Did he cook bake the birthday cake?
Yes, he made them entirely and decorated them that summer.
You mean Hardy did that?
Neil. How old was Neil?
He
He was 16 at the time.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty good though. Mm-hmm. Must have taught him something at home.
Yes, he was quite thrilled with it. He thought he would go into that kind of work when he got out of school. But what did he get? I think he had gained 30 pounds making cakes that summer, so that kind of discouraged him. He decided he'd try something else.
Sampling his product, huh?
Right. I tried to persuade him, well, he'd learn a little bit on nutrition if he took it out in school, but no, mother wasn't a good talker. So he didn't go into that for a business.
So, Orly was the village plumber?
Yes.
And barber?
Uh-huh.
And you worked in the laundry?
I worked in the laundry one summer. I operated the post office and, just lightning. You could put most anywhere where you're needed.
Yeah, that was typical of the early times, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You never knew what you were going to get into when you first came up here.
There wasn't very many older workers like us up here, maybe half a dozen. And so we was put in charge of different departments like laundry and whatever. The store was operating at that time in 66 because the post office was in the corner of the store.
Mm-hmm. And they changed the laundry since that time, too. Mm-hmm.
The laundry was up under the hospital on the left side. Mm-hmm. We had some old wringer washing machines. And the girls stripped the beds when the guests for the day went out down lake to meet the boat. We washed them and dried them and had them back on the beds before our new guests got here. Because we didn't have we just had one set of sheets for a bed. So we had to wash them and dry them on the line and get them back on the beds. And that was a real chore, too, especially if it was raining.
Yeah.
There was no such thing as a clothes dryer. Not at all. And no change of sheets made it real bad, too, especially if you was getting a lot of people in here, and in the early spring we got in a lot of groups, like Camp Farthest Out, where there was a lot of people coming. So that's kind of sure in that laundry house. But we had good help, girls, lots of those girls had never done any laundry in their life, but they did it.
They learned fast, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And willingly. Fine kids, we always had up here. And then sometime, I don't know whether it was 66 or what it was, we had a few children that were wards of the court, six or seven of them. We never took any more. We could have had more, but the director didn't want more because we weren't running that kind of a place. But they, mixed in with all these fine volunteer staff that come in, and you wouldn't even know that we had wards of the court in camp. And they just really did a lot of good, too.
I think that was called a group home, people, wasn't it? Or is that something like
that? I don't know what that is, so that must be something after me.
Okay.
Because these people that came in, we had them from, I think, about age 13 or 14 to 17.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went out with all the problems solved, supposedly.
Well, it didn't take long for the village to get started on its particular capabilities of helping people through the problem.
No, I think most people are almost 100%. The young people came up here because they had something, a problem, maybe a small one and maybe a big one. They might have just had to decide what school they wanted into that fall. Maybe their parents wanted them to be a doctor because dad was a doctor and they wanted to do something else, and they had to make this decision what they wanted to do. And then maybe some of them had really big problems. And a lot of them, really, most of them just really got a lot of benefit out of the inter relationship during the summer. And they became very close to one another. No way out to talk to anybody else, so you had to be with that person, and you soon learned to love them very much.
Almost like the winter community nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever stay up here for the winter then?
We were up here 4 winters.
Right.
4 winters and 6 summers. And then Horty's health broke, and he could, doctors told him he couldn't be up at the South Peak. Mm-hmm.
Wait, I learned that that when I came up here in 65, 66 and so forth, we had a favorite name for Horty. Wasn't they called a patron saint for the village?
I think maybe this happened after we went out.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because I heard about it from home.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He would have been dumbfounded, wouldn't he?
Yes, I think was pretty humble and unassuming, wasn't he?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That'd be a good characterization of it.
Mm-hmm. But he loved it up here. He was alive and well. He wanted to, this is where he wanted to be.
How long did he live?
He lived about 3 years after we left here. We left here in 72, I guess. 2 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he had another heart attack and didn't survive that one.
Mm-hmm.
He was pretty well at that time, although he couldn't do heavy work. But he decided he wanted to come back here and visit. So we came over to Cheyenne and got on the boat, the 25-mile creek, and the boat backed out and started to turn. And something, I was sitting beside him, something made me look at him. Well, he hit his knee hit my knee, and I couldn't look at him, and his head was falling over.
Mm-hmm.
And he just went that fast,
yeah.
And that easy. It's a nice way to go.
Yeah. The Lord has his ways about doing things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You don't almost have to go that easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything else you think you can tell us about those early years, about the village itself? As you came in, your first impressions of the village at the time?
Well, the lawns have changed a lot. No matter how much water you put on the lawns, they would burn up. There wasn't much soil on them, and they got a lot of tender, loving care. And these little golden mantle squirrels that run around here got into the snack bar and into the store and into the kitchen and carried off old candy bars and ate them. And they were really cute, but the health department made inspections, but they were very good to us. We kind of looked the other way until we got on our feet a little bit, which was really good, because otherwise they could have just closed us right down. And so there's a lot of difference between today and then when it comes to sanitation, because those little guys probably aren't that sanitary.
Mm-hmm.
But today I see such a difference. Nothing like that in the kitchens or the store today. And everything's handled in a very sanitary way today. And there's other things. We had a telephone from here to the dock, to Lucerne too, in 66. But we had to take it out because it kind of spoiled the scenery. I don't know who it was, and we missed that very much, because it was so nice to be able to contact the dock if there was any kind of problem down there, bus trouble, or they needed some sandwiches down there because the boat didn't make it. We have a nice new shiny boat compared to the old one at that time too, so I don't suppose they have that trouble now. But it was fun, it was interesting. I know Werner Jansen said that there was buildings here, but we was really doing outdoor camping in the buildings. And that's the truth. We never knew when our lights were going to go out. We've just been looking at slides where they was built a hydro plant and diverted the water down through that. The men did, weren't you? I don't know. Probably Walt Thompson handled the electrical part of it. He was still here in 66. And Harry Saturn worked with Walt a lot on that part of it. And then a lot of the boys worked with Jorge on some of the other parts. And then they buried a monstrous tank over here with really no machinery to move it, but they moved it over here and buried it and put diesel in it. I understand that is gone entirely now. And that was a real chore. There's just been a lot of things that have been done. And we had our beanie sales in 66, and through the 6 years we was there at every meal. I miss them now, even though we got real good musicians in here. But things don't, things change.
Well, Beanie left his imprint here.
Right.
And so did Horry.
They all did. They're here. We all do, wherever we are in life. Whether it's good or bad, we don't always realize that.
No. Can you think of anything else now that might be interesting to people that they look to about what was happening up here and your own participation in that?
Well, I was talking about the laundry where we had the wringer machines under the left side of the hospital, and then we moved down to the basement of the hotel right under the kitchen. And had a great big washing machine there, so finally we got real modern and had a washing machine and a dryer, and we had more than one set of sheets, so we didn't have near as much trouble getting beds made. The girls could get the beds made easily without calling everybody to the lodges to help them. Maybe not easily, still worked, but at least we had to change the sheets. And somebody gave us a bunch of nice new woolen blankets for the sheets, and eventually we got some bedspreads. And now the lodges look really nice with the handmade quilts over the top of every bed.
Yeah, I think those were all a result of an emphasis in the congregation. With the people in the congregation community, which built and set them up.
I know some, the one on my bed is from a congregation in Minneapolis, in Lodge 4 there. It's very pretty, too. So it goes to show their love for their human, for the other human being. Mm-hmm. And then eventually we, put in a little laundry for guests too, because they were here for a week or more, they were having problems. And that was very successful. It was used a lot.
Is that just the same place it is now?
Right.
Yeah. By the store.
Right by the store. And the store is still in the same place. It really hasn't changed that much. The Hike House is moved. The Hike House was in by the store. Where the registrar's office is now is where the Hike House was. It was because it's probably expanded. I haven't been over visiting the Hike House right now. So it's probably grown too. And we had a great big walk-in freezer down there in the basement that I was snooping around. I noticed it was gone. The more compact one in there, probably more modern. And Horton, the village plumber, would wonder how in the world the drain field got above the village. I'm still wondering too.
You mean the new one up there?
Yes, yeah. The new one up there, because it was down below. Yeah. And being a village plumber meant everything from the start to finish, from the water up here in Copper Basin to the drain field. And our old steam radiators. And we shut them down every winter. Put antifreeze in every trap that wasn't open. A real chore. And it seemed like you had just finished when you reversed it. Started opening the wall. And it still was going on, I imagine. We had koinonia open, which we all slept in the winter time, and ate there too. And at Christmas time we would open the hotel. Now this wasn't in 66, this would be 67 or later. Then we built the hotel for Christmas because we didn't have the facilities to handle that many more people. And quite often it was much the same people that came up here at Christmas time year after year. It just became a tradition for them. And we always had Christmas in July. That's got started because Walt Thompson was the only one up here over the winter at first. And
with his dog got?
And his dog.
Bugger.
And so we decided he had to have Christmas. Yeah. With somebody beside these dogs. So we had Christmas on the 4th of July. I don't know whether that tradition is still being carried on.
Yes, yeah, it's still Christmas.
They still have Christmas in July.
Christmas in July.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's what we should have too.
Well, you know, even our own congregation in Kansas is starting to do a little practice like that. You know?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And people like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The children like it. They like to sing away in a manger year round. They don't believe in singing at Christmas and forgetting it. Yeah, it's great. It was great to be here on the 30th birthday and a lot of people here that we worked with in 1966. Coming in with canes and wheelchairs and white hair. And even the young people that were here then are older than they used to be. A lot of the grandparents themselves. It's been a good week.
This was the 25th anniversary of that 60 group, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. With Phyllis Anderson and Mark Bjorke and their families spearheading it.
Yes.
And getting it started. It started about a year ago, I guess, to get ready for this. And then I got a letter in December from them. And Ruth and I got to talking about it in church, and she says, I'd sure like to come up, and I'm afraid to try it. And I said, let's go. So we got here. Ruth Palmer's now in a wheelchair.
Joe
Palmer, yeah. He did a lot of the maintenance work around here, too.
Did you meet the gears from there up here? Kind of just over.
I can't remember that name. Maybe I would remember the face if I see it, but the name I don't remember.
Yes, go ahead.
first one. Are you gonna file the other one back to back?
And Gertrude, and the Rudy Edmonds, and they're in the village again today, this week. And Fern Olson has been here many years. She didn't come up for the reunion. And Stan and Sylvia Anderson. Stan was up here, we went out today. And, it was a good group that was here.
Well, it's good to see them all again.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I noticed that the groups of that first bunch are gathering around here, little groups, and sharing what's
mm-hmm.
happened to them since that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really. Well, I think that Home Village did a lot to mold their lives mm-hmm. in the last 25 years. It's been it's a God-given gift, so it would have to be worthwhile. And anybody would benefit from coming up here. And I don't know how the staff is today. When we was here, we had staff, not Lutherans exclusively, but from many churches. And
I think it's still mixed.
The younger people, still like it less in, which didn't make any big difference to them. Which is right, which is as it should be.
Can you think of anything else, or did you might run out?
Well, I didn't mention bus driving either, or grading the road up and down from the lake. You never grade any dirt off of the edge of the road because pretty soon you don't have dirt. You grade it over to one side and then you grade it back to the other side and save all that dirt when you grade it. And in the winter time, when we got our little snowmobiles, we didn't plow any snow either. We just went down there on top of the snow. But we had to shovel if there was a slide. You can't go to the top of the slide. Snow is too high. I can remember a couple of young people going down to meet the boat, which only ran three times a week because it's a mail boat and we had to run them. And they didn't get back. And it got later and it got dark. So Jorge and I got them. The other little one went down to meet them. They was on the other side of a snow slide. And they didn't have a shovel or anything with them. We had come down prepared, so we soon had them shoveled over the snow slide.
At least enough to stay upright.
Right.
Ran over.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. The snow was so hard they couldn't go over it or they'd slide. So they had to shovel a path over the snow slide, up and over. And I remember Horty said the first time he went to the lake with a load of people in the bus behind him, he said he was just sweating like everything when he got to the dock to meet the boat. He said if it had been a load of logs, it wouldn't have bothered him at all coming down all those switchbacks. What is the drop there on them switchbacks? It's several thousand feet by the road. But he said with all these people behind him, he felt the responsibility. And it really hasn't changed that much. It's just like I had been here all the time to come up here 25
years. You felt at home then, didn't you?
Yes, right.
Yeah.
It was just like I had been here all the time.
Yeah, we do every time we come up here.
Mm-hmm. Just feel like you haven't been out.
No. It seems to be the atmosphere.
Must be. Might be different faces, but people don't change that much.
Anything else?
Well, what else have we talked about here that is Billy's life? It was a lot of fun working with all those people. Got up in the morning and got to work fast, and we still have our 10 o'clock coffee break and two meals at noon. And the bus coming and going, that's always a big event. And the young staff in the late August, when they start going out, they've been here since June. I never could decide whether it was a wake or a wedding, because there was so many tears. One young lady, when she went out, says, "Well, if I don't see you again here, I'll see you in heaven." And I never forgot it.
Yeah.
That's faith.
Yeah, that still goes on.
Right. They become so close to one another. It gives you an idea of how important you are in society, because you're so small here. If one person doesn't do his little bit, the whole village suffers. And when we get out in the world, it isn't any different. It's just bigger, and we don't maybe see how important we are to the rest of the world. And we learn a lot here.
Well, I thank you for that. That's real good.
Well, I hope I had something to say.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you've added a couple things that I forgot, either didn't know what to start off with or forgot in the meantime.
There's probably a lot more. And it was a big old boom down there at the dock that, for mining days. It was huge, with a big hook on it. And they used it when they unloaded from the barge. They got supplies in twice a year and stored them in their big locker because it was cheaper. And then perishables come up often. But when they went down on the truck this day to take things off, meet the barge, and get produce off the barge, and they were using this big old crane and this monstrous hook swung around and hit him right in the eye. He had the most beautiful shiner you ever seen.
We saw some pictures last night of that big crane that came on the barge.
Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I thought of too, was Orgy's black eye.
Yeah.
When I seen that crane. And it was huge. It did the job real good. And it was good to see those people that were here 25 years ago and talk about things. And Mike Brogan, of course, lived here in mining days as a little boy, so he could point things out to me as we was coming up from the lake through the switchbacks that he remembered from mining days as a little boy. That I don't believe I'd even heard them before, or I had forgotten. They used to have picnics down there above the switchbacks up above. They called it some kind of a camp because it was warmer down there than it was here in the village. And flat. And climbed up from the road up there. And I had never heard that before.
No, I hadn't either.
No, that was something new.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the village had been down there in mining days and had a lot of fun down there.
Good.
You keep learning things all the time.
Okay. We'll look for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks again for everything.
Yeah, it was good. Bless you, and I think save you. You won't save. Oh, you will.
I